wanting a better you. God is working on us every day in every way. You know, we can understand that when things are happening, instead of asking God, why is this happening to me? Thank him that it's happening for you. Amen. God's doing something special in your heart. You just got to, in his life, you just got to trust. You got to trust him. Because God is awesome, and he knows what he's doing. Amen?
Amen.
I decided again because the old book, the old book, I decided I was going to try an old anyway. Okay? Y'all ready? Gonna need a minister. I'm going to sit down for this. A minister decided that a visual demonstration would add emphasis to his Sunday sermon. He took four words and placed them in four separate jars. The first word was put in a container of alcohol. The second word was put in a container of cigarette smoke. The third word was put in a container of chocolate syrup. The fourth word was put in a container of good clean soil. At the conclusion of the sermon, the minister reported the following results. The first worm in alcohol, dead. The second worm in cigarette smoke, dead. The third worm in chocolate syrup, dead. The fourth worm in good, clean soil, alive. So the minister asked the congregation, what can we learn from this demonstration? Maxine, not little Johnny this time, Maxine was standing in the back, put the raise her hand and said, as long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. that pretty much ended that service. The other guy put up a sign that said, do not disturb. And my wife said, no, he didn't put it up. It says, already disturbed. Proceed with caution.
That was good.
Yeah, ain't not good.
Okay.
Get your Bibles out. Philippians chapter 2. We're working on spiritual warfare and rebuilding ourselves. We've got something very special happening right now in our midst. When the world's going crazy like it is, when the world's going fine and dandy and there's no problems, guess what? The church, I mean, people don't listen too much to the church. But when things are going crazy, that's when they start listening to the church. And so things, have you seen anything any crazier than this day and time? As a matter of fact, every day when I do turn on the news, it's, now it's just a challenge to see if I see anything sane. Amen? I mean, if things are not sane at all, I can't believe some of the stuff that I'm seeing. And the worst of all is that they're trying to, you know, feed it to us. I'm going, news stations have lost their minds because this stuff is getting worse all the time. All right, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, stand for the reading of God's word. God is awesome all the time. God is awesome. Let me get rid of some of these cords. I got a message from the front desk that said, watch the cords. Technology is awesome. Yeah. I got three notes in a row. Watch the cords. Watch the cords. Watch the cords. Okay, I've watched them now. Here we go. God's good.
All the time.
Philippians chapter 2. I'm not sure what next week's going to bring as far as sermons, but you can believe it's going to be something new with us building a better us. Okay? And this year is going to be a culmination of all three that we've gone through. So you're going to hear a little bit from the first two, just a little bit, and then you're going to hear a bunch from the new one. Chapter 2, verse 1, and to be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill my joy that you may be like-minded, having the same love, one and being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's just when we hand this way, we're going to ask God for a special touch. And Lord, Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well here on the throne. God, I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us in a very, very powerful way. Help us to see and know and understand that you're in total control. There's nothing that happens that is not without your reach and without your sight. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us in a very powerful way. Help us to know that this day is your day, and that something special is happening right now in our very presence. And we thank you, God, for what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. God is so, 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 so good. You know, yesterday was kind of a tough day, because not only was Sierra in the hospital, but one of my best friends, I didn't know I knew him in high school. We competed against each other in the regional FFA contest. And I found out later that we had been going head-to-head, you know, then, but after I got to know him, we went head-to-head for 20-something years, 30 years. But it's always a good thing. Always, always a good thing. And out of all the people I've known, as far other than preachers, as far as having somebody to do, not Bible trivia, it was Bible wrestling. Trying to see who could come up with the answer to the passage, you know. And me and him would go at it. I used to tear him up on the New Testament. He'd tear me up on the Old Testament. And so he was the one that got me really, really, really going strong in the Old Testament, so that I wouldn't be whipped by him every time. And I got him in the New Testament going, so he wouldn't get whipped by me every time. So we sent each other on. It was really great. Both musicians, both of us, our wives had children. They did. I mean, a lot of parallels. And had to say goodbye to them yesterday. And today I get to baptize his son. Amen. And so that's awesome. So it's that's 3 o'clock. That's what I'm going to be doing. So just remember, you know, names are not important. Just know that, thank God that even though there's some hard things going on, there's some good things coming out of it in the midst of the pain. And God's awesome. All right, now, good little better. You have just a few slides for the last few weeks, just so we can keep some continuity here. All right, have you ever fallen into a spiritual rut? Look at that guy there. He's in a spiritual rut. You're miserable, you're obstructed, and you're hopeless. There's no way out. All you can do is try to struggle to maintain. And don't raise your hands, but is there anybody in here today that would say, I'm struggling just to maintain? Don't raise your hands. Don't point. Amen? You know, it's hard when you get in a situation, okay? Because when you get in a situation, what's left, you find your spiritual life lame. And then, because you don't want to take all the blame, you blame somebody else. And so it becomes an unending cycle, same way in marriages. They start playing the blame game, and all of a sudden now everybody's blaming each other, and there's no resolution to anything. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, because as long as you are lame and keep blaming, there's going to get nothing but the same. And so, spiritual rut. Here's a guy, he's in a spiritual rut. He's trying to hand the shovel to somebody else. You know, but that's not how it works. If you're going to build a new you, you've got to understand this, and that is that you've got to realize that you have a part to play. You have to have your attention in this thing. You've got to look at what you see and look at what you're feeding your mind with, and you got to watch your attitude, and you got to be careful about how you think about people and how you think about situations, and you got to watch your actions and how you respond to things, because how you respond has a lot to do with it. Remember spiritual warfare? 10% what Satan's throwing at you and 90% how you respond. Here's how you respond. Your attention. You I'm not watching Satan and watching what he's doing. I'm watching God, and I'm watching what God's doing. I try to keep my attitude on. I don't think about how bad I got. I think about, you know what, God's got me, and he knows what's going on in my actions. How do I respond? Not, God, why are you doing this to me? But thank you, God, that you are doing this for me, and if something special is going to happen with all this, when you come out of it, you're definitely going to be stronger. Amen? You're going to be bigger. So, here it is again from last week, or from weeks, 2 weeks, actually. All right. Building a better you. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That word mind is attitude. Let this attitude be, let it be constant in you, personal. Don't look for somebody else to be an example of Christ in your life. You be an example of Christ in their life. Amen? Quit worrying about what the preacher or this person or my mom or my daddy or what. No. You. Ask God to help you have the attitude of Christ. And Philippians chapter 2 shows you what the attitude of Christ was. He was a servant, and he didn't have a problem with being a servant. The one who created the worlds was a servant. Wow. So now, here we go. We're getting ready to get into some meat here. Y'all ready? Not me, it's their fault, it's his fault, it's her fault. How many has that ever been your song? Just look at it. Verse 1, it's not me. Chorus, it's their fault. The chorus is, it's not me. The verse 1 is, it's their fault. Verse 2 is his fault. The verse 4-3, it's her fault. The chorus is, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me. How many ever sang that song? Do not raise your hands. Because I promise you, everybody, at least once, has sang that song. Amen? Okay. So now, it's time to quit looking out to find someone else for something to blame, but look inside and take responsibility. So here it is. Here we go. Y'all ready? We're going for the last 2 weeks, and then we're going to the new stuff. How many ever read this book, one of the lost books in the Bible? According to the law. That's my favorite Bible verse, my Bible book to quote from. Yevet. Yevet. From the book of Yevet, from the prophet Yevet. Well, I was going to do this. Yevet. Why are you? Well, Yevet. Remember this again. I told you this is stuff that has been going on 2 weeks. Some of y'all have been here going, I've already seen this. I promise you, when you saw it the first time, we went through a lot deeper part of it, okay? Anything before but doesn't really matter. Somebody goes to you and starts telling you something, and they go, but, I'm sorry, but, that apology's no good. Well, I understand that I actually was the one to turn on the switch, but, I understand that I was the one that messed up, but, hey, they're not taking responsibility, they're blaming. So here's the new challenge. Take this out of your vocabulary. I meant to, but. All right? So here we go. Ain't God good? All the time. What are the ants? Talk about the ants. Now, again, just for those that haven't been here, this was the first week. We talked about how you were thinking. All right? I can hear what I can see. My glasses are not, their magnifiers are not telescopic. Really? And if you said any of these, you got some ants. All right? Ants, we talked about decline and rage last time or first time, how to get rid of these negative thoughts. Ants, automatic negative thought syndrome. All right? It's one thing to have negative thoughts. That's one thing. To have automatic negative thoughts is a step up and it gets worse. To have the automatic negative thought syndrome, now you are consumed with negative. Have you ever been around somebody who's consumed with negative? Totally consumed with negative. Now, without raising hands again, have you ever been consumed with negative? All right, here it goes. He's always putting me down. I'm so stupid. I won't get this done on time. I won't even try. You never listen to me. Nobody can love me. I feel like staying in bed, but I should go to the gym. That I'm a failure. No one understands me. I'm so annoying. Why try? I'm awful at this. I shouldn't cry. She didn't say hello. She must hate me. I shouldn't get upset over this. But they never listen to me. Now, that's just some of the negative thoughts and some of the automatic negative thoughts that people have to battle with every day through their life, whether it be in their family, whether it be in their siblings, whether it be at work. You got to remember, at church, you got to remember, automatic negative thoughts will hit you before you have a chance to reason. You can't even think about it. Instead of reasoning it out and figuring out the problem, instead, automatic negative thoughts take over, and you just get on the bus that's going straight down, not the one that's going up. I'm not talking about hell. Down. Everything's down, down, down. And instead of taking it nice and simple and figuring out the problem. So, think better thoughts. And here it is. Summing it all up, friends. I say you do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me, what you have heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Think better thoughts. When it get better, start thinking better thoughts. Also, hear better sounds. I won't go into this really strong, but Romans 10, 17 through 21 says, faith cometh by hearing, and then it's hearing the good news of Christ. You're hearing by the word of God. That word hearing by means literally the word of God, means the preached word of God. It's the word, the rightful word, right now. It's the word that comes to you in season. By hearing that word, your faith, you'll be able to step out of that negative ant or that boat full of ants. Amen? So that was the first week. Here's the second week. If you focus on your giants, you stumble. If you focus on your God, your giants will stumble. So what does that mean? See better sights. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12 and 2. Many people look for the bad in people and look for the bad in circumstances, seeing only their faults and the negative. How many people have ever said, well, if you did me wrong once, if you did me wrong twice, I'll write you off? I know people like that. I mean, I got friends that are like that. If you did me wrong once, okay, but you did me wrong twice, you're out. It's over. Don't even get three strikes. And I'm all the time talking to them and saying, why are you like this? Don't you understand that you may be doing the same thing to somebody else that they did to you, and they may not have realized what they were doing to you when they did it? And you got to try to reason this out and let the ants take over. I tell people all the time, you got an ants infestation. Man, the ants are eating you up. Man, get rid of them ants. And they go, I know. And they go right back and they open the door, have a picnic, the ants come right on back in. So, train yourself to look for good and look at Jesus in all situations. Now, here we go. Looks like this. You ever seen this at the places of businesses where they're advertising something, you can pull off the address or pull off the phone number? Well, there it is right there. You can make a difference. And you pull it off. I will. Well, part of becoming a better you is literally perform better deeds. Now, what am I talking about, performing better deeds? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Did he say, whatever you do in church? Did he say, whatever you do with your family? Did he say, whatever you do with your kids? What did he say? Whatsoever you do. Here's the heavy part. He's not putting a label on it. Your family, your friends, the people that do good to you. He's talking about life. Life. Whatever you do, life. Do it heartily. Whatever in life is happening, the life within you needs to come out. It might make sense in the moment. If you write this down, later on, this is going to hit you. Whatever you do, whatever comes to you in your life, God's got a life within you. You're born of Christ. He's living within you. Do it heartily. The life within you. As unto the Lord, the life giver. And not unto men, the life takers. Think about it. One thing I was learning when I was getting this refrigeration license was, and I know this has got nothing to do with this, but it's got all to do with it, was the number one killer of somebody working on an air conditioner is not electricity. It's refrigerant. If refrigerant gets in your lungs, if you breathe it in, it's heavier than air, and it'll push your air out, and you will asphyxiate. Right there, on the ground, not air conditioned. If you just happen to go, you're gone. Because it takes the life out of you. There's people in your life that are like a fridge. Every time they open their mouth, it's heavier. It's heavier than air. And it's just draining the life out of them. They're life takers. There's some people you get around, I can't wait to get around. Because I know I'm going to hear something good, it's going to be awesome. There's other people I get around, I'm going, oh no. The funny thing is, I'll be in Walmart and I'll see one of the life takers and I'll say, you know what, Lord, I'm not really at the moment. I'll tell you what, if you put a back in my life, well, the next day I'll talk to them. I'm just going to back up and go this way. And I back up and go this way, I'm running a little worse. And by the time I get to the end, the other person's caught up with me. And so I feel the asphyxiation coming. So, whatever you do, give it everything you got. Ask to the Lord, the life giver. Not unto men, because there's going to be people that's going to drain the life out of you. But guess what? If God keeps putting them in your path, it's not so they can drain the life out of you. It's so that you can instill life into them. Amen? Instill life into them. All right. So get ready. We're going to have some fun in just a minute. Before better deeds, we just read that. Matthew 25:40 says, the king will answer, I guarantee you this truth. Whatsoever you did for one of my brothers or sisters, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me. The deeds of many are negative, self-motivated, dishonest, displeasing to God. So many people out there need to be lifted up. They're waiting. God's putting you in their path so you can lift them up. You may not know. I think I told y'all this, but I went to the nursing home to see Ben, and there was this very pleasant lady. She was working the desk. And I told her how pleasant she was. And she said, thank you. I said, matter of fact, I shouldn't blow God on you. She said, oh, man, thank you so much. I want him to be seen in my life. And I said, just know that you're brightening up the room. And she said, thank you. And then before I thought about it, and I said, well, you know, everybody has the opportunity to brighten a room. She said, really? I said, yeah, some do it by entering it, and some do it by leaving it. But everybody has lightened up the room. Here we go. Y'all ready? Now I'm going to meddle. Everybody ready for me to meddle a little bit? Can I meddle something? Y'all tell me I can meddle. Y'all tell me something so y'all can't get mad. I'm going to meddle a little bit. Y'all say, pass for that down the plow. All right. To be a better person, attend better places. Now, there's all kinds of places can be better, but this is where it starts. Okay? Get ready. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 122:1. That word glad literally means to brighten up, to lift your spirits. So the word, I mean, the house of God is not a more than just a better place. It's the best place. It's a blessed place. You get blessed going in. You get blessed going out. It's a very, very powerful place to be. How many people have had your feelings hurt at Walmart? How many said your feelings hurt at McDonald's? How many said your feelings hurt at Food Line? But you still got, don't you? How many there are picking up the stuff and it's been misunderstood? And you get there and say, this is not right, you got. And there's some misunderstandings. But you still got. Why? Because they want, I need to be there. Well, I'm in church and somebody said I didn't, they didn't tell me how pretty I was. They tell me my hair looked good. They saw my shoes and said, is that the best you can do? I look at Eddie when he puts his shoes on back and I said, son, I consider you smart until I look down. And he said, if I put them on backwards so they stay on better. I said, that's okay, Eddie, that's fine. I just keep wearing mine the way they are. But this little thing, and Satan throws the ants out to you. Throws the ants out. You stop going to church. It'll keep you out of Walmart. It'll keep you out of the Food Line. It'll keep you out of the post office. It'll keep you out of endless places. But he'll keep you out of church. You know why? Because in Food Line and Walmart, I may get the bread and maybe get clothing and get taken care of in that way. But in church, I get the bread of life. In church, I get to learn about the mercies of God. In church, I get to hear, basically by hearing and hearing by the preached word of God. That's why Satan wants you to stay out of here. If everybody in this community understood the power of being together in corporate worship, this place would be so packed. We'd have to have 2 services or 3 services a day. It'd be amazing. Matter of fact, we could have service every day if everybody realized just how powerful this place was. But because of the conditions and because of the way things are going on out in this world and because of the ants, they choose. And it's a choice. They choose not to be here. This is your safe place. I remember one night I was preaching in Eatonton. And it was kind of crazy because there were thunderstorms. And while we were in the church, and while I was getting before I began to preach, the pastor got up and he said, I know people were looking at the wind and saw the lightning and heard the thunder, and it was really going really, really bad. And the pastor said, don't worry, we're in the ark. We're in a safe place. And that stuck. Matter of fact, when we got through, he put some money in my hand and says, I got an assignment for you. I said, what? He says, there's a steakhouse right down the road. I want you to take you and your family to the steakhouse and get a meal. I said, well, I'm all right. He said, no, I insist. He said, I insist. Stop at this restaurant and get you and your family a steak. Oh, yes, sir. He's my elder. He said, yes, sir. I got in the car and said, I really don't want to stop there, but I'm going to do what he said. But he asked, and so I stopped. And we stayed there for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and had steak, potatoes, salad. And got in the car. It was still raining. It finally calmed down. As it finally calmed down, we got in the car and we left. And when we got down the road, we saw a path where a tornado had come down and went all the way across the road and tore everything. And where was I at when all this was taking place? I was in a safe place. And I was in a steakhouse. So while everything's being torn to pieces, I was worshiping God. And when I got to worship God, got spiritual food, then I got me a steak and potato food. all this was going on, and that taught me the most valuable lesson. Remember, this is the same place. One night I was preaching in when I was in Benson, and we heard, it was the same thing, it was really, really bad, and I remembered that from years before, and I said, y'all, we're in a safe place, it's going to be okay. And the lightning, we heard it cut through the trees, and went right behind the church and hit our transformer, and it exploded. And the lights went out. It was safe enough, or light enough that you could still see, and then people were starting to go, we got to get out. I said, we're in a safe place. Trust him. So all this stuff was going on again. We were in a safe place. Now, what's that happening with us now? Look around us, what's going on in this world. Never have I don't even believe the stuff that I'm seeing now. I can't understand, I can't believe it. It just boggles my mind, the crazy mess that's happening around us. And so, what does Satan want to do? Keep us out of our safeness. This is your safeness. This is where you get your spiritual meat. This is where you get, oh, I can stay home. Well, sometimes you can. Sometimes if you're sick, you need to be home. If you're not feeling good, you need to be home. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about habitually. Well, I can, whatever, because let me tell you something. Corporate worship is not much more powerful than the Word of God and corporate worship together. It's very, very, very powerful. So now, surrender. Number one, surrender because God's got a plan. It says in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourself. That word forsake means leave behind. How many people do you know that left God behind? Think about it. God used to be on their mind all the time. They're talking about God. They got things going. And I've noticed when Satan gets them out of church, it's not long before he gets them out of their mind. Forsake not the assembly. The word assembly is where we get the word in the Greek for synagogue. It's talking about church. Safety. God has a good plan. Where there's no counsel that people follow, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 11:14. Their strength. He has a powerful plan. One will chase 1,000, but two will put 10,000 to flight. Do you realize how powerful we are today? This is a powerful group of people. If we could just realize, I think it was Monday. Maybe it was Monday before that. So it was Monday. I was in there at B5. And I was telling the guys how powerful it was for us to be together. There's like 12 of us. And say how powerful it is for us to be together and seeking God and His Word and His power. And I said, we're going to pray. We're going to say the most powerful prayer you've ever prayed. And they said, what's that? And we all put our hands together and we started saying the Lord's Prayer. And as we started saying the Lord's Prayer, it got so loud. 12 guys, it was so loud, it was echoing in that room. And not only was it echoing, but I could feel the guys on both sides of me, their hands were doing like this. And we got through praying. One of the guys said, do you realize the gates of hell is trembling right now? One of the guys looked over and the other guy said, did you feel that? The other guy said, yeah, that was powerful. I mean, there was some peril in that. It's trying to get over it. Got all kinds of charges against them. Hadn't been to church. And they're in there praying the Lord's Prayer. And God starts moving in the jail in a very powerful way where God's hands are shaking. And they're talking about, wow, that was a powerful prayer. I felt that. What about us? I want that. Here. Amen? Here. Okay, we're free to go. We're free to come and go as we want. Here in God's house. Okay, so now, it's in the best place. I was glad when it said it's going to the house of the Lord. Let me just do a little bit here and get ready close. I promise. I told you I was going to meddle. I'm going to meddle for a little bit. A little meddle goes a long way. That's what my mama told me. All right. Listen carefully. I was writing this, and the Lord spoke to me so strong. Listen to me. Christians hurt their souls. Wow. That's got to stop. Think about this. You've got to stop and think. Christians hurt their souls when they go to wrong places in search of God things. Said that simmer for a while. Christians hurt their souls when they go to the wrong places in search of God. Wow. In God's safe place, there's peace, there's power, and there's plan. I remember one day in Williamson, there was a lady in the church. She had a bad disc in her neck, and she was kind of like this. And she was a minister, too. She's like this, and she is walking around like this for weeks, and she goes. She comes up to me to pray for her. She says, Pastor, this is killing me. The doctors aren't doing anything. I can't stand it. She's been wearing a cervical collar. And she goes, I can't stand this pain. And I said, let's pray. I said, everybody put your hands up here. And we started praying for her. And as God is my witness, since we were praying for her, I felt my hands do this. And when we got through praying, I said, amen. She hollered. And she started doing all this. She said, look at this. Look. She said, look what God's done. Look what God's done. I said, praise God. Everybody got happy. Next week she come back and I said, how's it next? She said, I said, what's wrong? She said, get told. She said, can you lay one of those prayers on me like you did last week? And I said, no. She said, why not? I said, I ain't going to pray against your husband's prayers. Okay. Peace. Power. Plan. All right. Does God always heal? Yes. Does he heal the way he wanted to? No. God has a special time. God's got his time. He healed Bethany. He healed her by taking her home. There's three ways. God always heals. He heals. Look, he heals instantaneously. He heals through the process of time and uses doctors. And then he also does the ultimate healing and takes us home to be with him. But he always heals. You just got to trust him. All right. When you're here, you get to be a part of what God's doing. And you can make a positive difference. Here, you can discover God's will. All of that is found in God's hand. If you want to be a better person, I'm telling you, we've got a lot of wise people in here. Not just me. Praise God. Matter of fact, if you're the wisest person in this room, you're in a mighty small room. Everybody in here, in one way or another, is a lot wiser than me. Everybody in here, in one way or another, has a lot more knowledge in areas than I do. And that's why it's so important we get together so we can bounce off each other and help each other. And the corporate faith. One foot would chase 1,000, two of the 10,000 of light. Wow! It's powerful. So watch this. How do I know God's will? I thought I would throw this in there. This kept coming strong. So I was riding down the road, and so I called myself and left myself a message. So I wouldn't forget it. How do I discover God's will in my life? First off, God's will is not a destination. Well, God called me to be a preacher. God called me to be a singer. God called me to do this or to do that. Okay. That's it. God's will is not a destination, but a daily journey of discovery. Think about it. A daily journey of discovery. We discover God's will as we move every day of our life. When we go to work, when we get home, when we get up in the morning, when we go back to sleep at night, all in there, we discover God's will. little trinkets here and there. Because if you really do God's total will for your life, you blow it. You don't blow it. David. So now, here's how you discover God's will. You take notes, you want to write this down. Number one, and I'm using the acrostic wheel. Number one, walk with God. You got to be born from above. That's number one of all. Number one of all, God's will for your life is to be born again. Born again. It's His will. He sent His Son that no man should perish. He will not perish, but have everlasting life. God, His will starts with being born from above. You've got to walk with God. Now, what else do I do if I learn God's will for me? Number one is to be saved. Number one priority above all, you got to be saved. You've got to be born again. Number two, investigate His Word. Start reading. When I first started reading God's Word and really getting into it, when I have a problem, I'll start searching out what the Word said about that problem. And that's how I learned to respond. And as I got more mature and got older, my responses were different because I got more mature in the Word. You know, and I learned more stuff, and as I started learning more stuff, the way I responded. Still, walk with God, got to be born from above, investigate His Word. What is it saying to me? You know, I can't tell you how many times I've asked somebody in jail, asked somebody in Walmart, asked somebody in church, you know, are you born again? Do you serve God? Do you go to church? And they'll go, well, my grandma, well, she served God for 50 years, faithful, 50 years. Okay, but what about you? Well, my granddaddy, he was a deacon for 75 years. Good. What about you? Well, my brother, he's a minister. Okay. That's all great. What about you? What is God's Word saying to you? Not just what He said to Grandma, not just what He said to Grandpa and my brother. What is God saying to you? The first L, let go of the reins. Sometimes we stay so pent up with anxiety, and the ants are running wild. I mean, the ants are running so strong. God can never use me. I'll never be any good. God will never use somebody like me. God can't speak to me. Nobody wants to hear what I got to say anyway. Blah, 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 blah. And so you hold the reins so tight. Let me tell you something about people that hold reins like you met them. They hold the reins so tight. Usually, if they're holding the reins so tight, it's because they're afraid if they let go, they lose control. Or they get discovered that they're not all that in a bag of chips. You make it all like they're one thing, but they're not. And so they hold this reins real tight. But the most freedom thing in this world is to let go of the reins. Just let go of them. Let go. Let God take control. God, show me. First of all, I'm born again. Secondly, what's your word telling me? And then, how can I quit thinking about all this is about me and start thinking about other people and thinking about what you'd have me to do a lot, what you'd have me to say to folks? I can think about just this week. You know, on multiple occasions, I thought I had the plan for the day. And I go to do the plan for the day, and it doesn't turn out like I think it is. So I go someplace else, and I get there, and I find out for the next hour or two, I minister to somebody else. That they would not have been there for them if I hadn't had those plans taken away so I could be there at that precise moment. They're going to read. Let God start calling some shots. It's not all about us. And finally, here's the hardest of all. God's will, born again, investigate His Word. How's it handled? I was going to say to my life, They will arrange, it's not about me. And let God lead. Rest, listen, this sounds kind of weird. Rest in his word lived out. Rest in his word lived out. You say, so pent up with frustration, anxiety, the ants are eating us alive. We see God's word, we think it's for somebody else, it's not for us, there's no way. The ants are telling us that it's for somebody else, that's for the good people. That's for the people that are flawless. Let me tell you something. Real quickly, I want everybody to turn around one time and look all around. Just look around. Now, I promise you, nobody saw a perfect person. Nobody. But since some of you did see, when you turned around, you saw people with faults. You saw people that have struggles. You saw people that need God, just like you. God wants us to rest by living out his word. That's how you grow. What does God's word say about it? I'm going to let go of the reins, and I'm going to live it like he said it, and I'm going to let God handle the consequences. Because remember, that's the daily journey of discovery. Watch, you see right here, I've got right over the daily journey of discovery. There it is, the will of God. Here's your assignment for this week. God is so good to us. It amazes me how good he is to us, especially when we haven't been so good to him. This week's challenge. And Brandon, you can tell me you're going to play something, bro. This week's challenge. Get back into the Word of God. Well, it's boring. Well, I don't know where to go. I don't know how to start. Well, I tried to read the book of Bagots, but I forgot through about 15 Bagots. Well, I tried to read the book of Leviticus. I started in Leviticus, so no wonder you're not getting excited about the Word. I challenge you to get into the Word of God. Here's how you're going to do it. Start with the book of John. Start with John. Read it straight through. Then read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. 75% of John is not found, or is not, 75% of John is not found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the 19 Gospels that were written soon after the death of Christ. John was written at the end of the first century. He said, I'll fill in some gaps. And so read that. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and read John again. Then read the book of Acts. I promise you, the Bible will come alive. King James Version is the number one most widely accepted translation. I always use that as my anchor. But I like the New Living Translation, the Amplified Bible. You can trust them. They're good. It'll amplify the Greek and the Hebrew, and it will bring it out in a way that makes it even more fun. Get back into the Word of God. Don't wait for somebody else to read. I can't tell you over the years, the guys that would tell me, I'd say, guys that I worked with, guys I met places, I'd say, why don't you go to church? And they go, well, my wife goes, she takes the kids. That's good enough. Oh, really? Your wife going to church and taking the kids, that's good enough. Do you realize you're a priest to your home? Do you realize that when you stand before God, you're going to be the one held account for that house? Not your wife. I didn't think about that. Yes, you are the one. You realize your prayers are the most powerful prayers in that house because you are the priest of your home. You're the one that should be mediating between God and your family. And then as they get their people out and they start getting married, now you're the patriarch. So you're the priest of your home. You're the patriarch of your family. It's important because you have power and don't even realize it. back in Tillbury. When you get back into the Word, let it challenge you. Let it enlighten you. Let it charge you. Let it recharge you. It's about time for the season to start again. I'll tell you something else. Watch The Chosen. That little, there's only like 10 episodes of season. I think season 4 is coming up. They take the Word of God. They never change the Word of God, but they put a story around it. They bring it to life, and they put other kind of stories with it. But the Word of God never changes. He's got a rabbi, and he's got a Catholic priest, and he's got a Baptist. All three of them, they're working together with him to make sure that everything lines up with the Word of God. So there's nothing on there. You can't look at there and say, well, that's not what the Word of God says. And just the point I'm trying to make about that is, when he raised Jack Jairus' daughter, he said, I say, now you damsel arise. Well, this chosen, he reached out and said, little Ann, wake up. And I said, he said, damsel. He just said, little Ann. And so I went back into my Greek lexicons, and I traced that word damsel down. And you know what that word damsel means? Little man. Wow. And it has so much power. So, do things I watched and chose. There's other things you can watch too. But that is that safe with the Bible anyway. That was a safe one. Challenge you, lighten you, charge you, recharge you, whatever you do. Live out God's Word beyond these walls. Watch God show up and show off. When you live His Word, you see, God isn't obligated to do everything we say. He's not thinking, He's out there going, yes, sir, boss, every one of the things. No. God's not obligated to everything you say. He's not obligated to back every one of your words, but it's one thing He is obligated, and He did. He obligated Himself to back up His Word. And when I find myself in a bind, I go to God's Word. I find out what it says about it, and I stand on God's Word, and I hold it. Then when the ants go marching in, they're gonna run to me. I fight them with that word. And it's so amazing. Because one thing I've discovered, things didn't always turn out the way I wanted them to. Bethany still died. My mom still died. But in the middle of all of them, there was peace. Because I knew that's part of life. And I knew to get to God, you have to walk through that door. And I also know that I was standing on God's Word and claiming the promises of God the whole time. And I do it now. God's got us. God's got us, God's got us, God's got us. I want to back up, but to leave it. Right there. Let everybody stand. Every hit by it, every eye closed. God wants us to have His attitude, the attitude of Christ, a servant attitude. More concerned about serving than to be served. More concerned about helping. More concerned about giving all you got. And watch what God will do. Because when you get that way, you're pleasing Him. I was in New York the other day, and DC was sitting on one side, and I was sitting on the other. Sierra was in the middle, and the guard come in. And looked over at DC, and looked over at me, and looked at me and said, "There's your mini me right there." And I said, "It's an awful big mini me." And DC stood up and said, "The Lord showed me in His Word, and I finally understood it. And Jesus said, 'You seen me, you seen the Father.' He said, 'And I hope when you see me, you see my Father.' I hope when people see me, they see my Father. God wants to rebuild us. We have the answer to all the craziness going on. We have it. That's why Satan tries so hard to keep us from getting this in our hands and in our spirits. God's got us. God's got us. God's got us. God's got us. God's got us." Somebody say, "God's got us."
God's got us.
All right, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask several questions, and I want you to be honest. Number one, are you as close to God as you want to be? That's a very simple question. Doesn't take a whole lot of thought. You know. I ain't got to beat you up in the Bible. I ain't got to fall behind and take notes. Simple question. Are you as close to God as you would like to be or need to be? And if the answer is no, while nobody's looking around, I want you to put that hand up and say, "Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not as close as I need to be." Touch him, Lord. Touch him. Maybe you feel close to God, but the ants have taken over. The ants have eat you up. You feel like you're worthless, that you couldn't do anything for God, that you are untalented, you got nothing. You get intimidated. I promise you, when DC's up here singing, and I go up here and lead after he's left, it's intimidating, very intimidating. But you know what? He ain't here. So I say, "God, I'm willing. Let's let it rip." God's got you. Don't be intimidated. And don't be destroyed by the ants. God's got you. And in this last day, more than anything, get with God's people so you can learn and discover God's will for your life and your family can grow together in God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you want your family to grow closer than it's ever been to God, and you want men, you want to be the leaders of your home that God's called you to be, and wives, you want to see your husband be that leader, and you want to be there to help him and be his helpmate, and you want to see your family grow with God, and you want to see it happening before your very eyes. Nobody looking around, every head bowed. Would you put that hand up and say, "I want it. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it." Bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. Now we're going to pray together. God's got something special in store for this church. Very strong. Very strong. He's already laid the groundwork. And it's up to us. I know we're in a season of pain and a season of hurt, a season of sickness. I don't like it. I know you don't like it. But God's got us. Even in all that, God's got us. And I thank Him. Those that are our members of our body that are sick, God bless them, touch them, heal their bodies. Those outside of our members that we know that are sick, heal their bodies, God. And Lord, heal their bodies, number one, for your glory, but number two, so that they can be a strong witness what's getting ready to take place. Y'all pray this with me. Lord,
Lord,
I love you.
I love you.
I praise your name.
I
thank you for your grace, for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you are with us, that we are not alone. I thank you, God, that we are not helpless. We have hope. I thank you, God, that we still can step into your church without the law chastens. I thank you, God, that we're free. And God, you have that power that you want to give us. That same power that was in me 5 last week is the same power that is here right now. And we thank you for it. We know our time is short. Help us take advantage of it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Heal our families. Heal us. Help us draw close to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Get on and hang back. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. When we do say that, after we say the Lord's Prayer, not one stick to dismiss it some prayer, but when you say the Lord's Prayer this time, here's what I want you to think about before you start saying it. This is not just one here. Okay. Come on in. We're going to stand in for Sierra. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, you're awesome. You have all power, all knowledge, all wisdom. God, the doctor is still trying to figure out what's going on with Sierra. But God, you created her. You knew her from the woman. You knew her from before the womb. And God, you knew this day was going to be here, God. And Father, you have the answer. If she doesn't have it, Amy doesn't have it, she doesn't have it, and the moment the doctors don't have it, but God, you have it. And Lord, you can heal her right now and raise her up this bill with just one touch. But Lord, if you should decide to do it through medicine, Lord, we thank you for that too. We thank you, God, for touching this young lady. And help her know, God, right now in her bed, Lord, she can feel it, let her mama feel it, let her daddy feel it. Something very powerful taking place in the name of Jesus. And Lord, everybody in this church, Lord, those that are sick, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to touch Barbara and touch Jeannie, Lord, and touch them all. Father, that are having bodily afflictions, Lord, touch my sister right here, Lord. Those that need a touch in their body, touch Stephen's legs, Lord. Ask you, God, just to minister, Father, in the way that you can, in the name of Jesus. And we trust you, and we know, God, that you got this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. 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 Amen. When you say Lord's Prayer, this isn't just something that your children learn when they're little, and you learn when you were little, and it's something to say before you go to bed at night. The disciples noticed that when Jesus prayed, it was different than when the Pharisees prayed. When the Pharisees prayed, they were out there trying to get everybody to notice how they were in their long faces, and they were all real sad, and everybody noticed just how godly they were, and actually what they were religious. Nothing was happening. But when Jesus prayed, something happened. And they knew that Jesus spent time alone with God, and that was the difference. So they said, Jesus, teach us. John taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And when Jesus taught them how to pray, he said, I want you to pray in this manner. And once he said that, we're going to say this in a minute. What he was saying is, this prayer, if you get somewhere and you don't know what else to say, you say this prayer. If you're in a bind and you have no idea how to pray for the situation you're in, you say this prayer. If you find yourself in trouble, you say this prayer, because this is one of the most powerful prayers in the entire world. All right? This is the Lord's Prayer. All right? Now, here we're going to say it together. And just remember this, we may not feel a thing, but when you say this prayer, all hell trembles. Okay? Say it together. Who brought us here? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass. Father God, we love you, Lord. We praise your holy name. And Lord, we just pray, and we know that you give us the word to say. You put someone in front of us and need you. Help us live life, your will in our lives. And all the glory and the praise for it all. Amen. Amen.